Today on Seculo, a New York judge orders the dissolution of the Trump Organization LLC.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It is Logan Seculo, but Jordan is here. He just had to step out for a second. As you can tell, we're probably dealing with some major... Here, he's coming right through the door right now. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be breaking down a lot of topics today. The one you may have seen or saw in the title revolves around the Trump Organization, LLC, and the fact that New York is trying each and every way to take down President Trump, now going after his businesses and trying to keep him from being able to even release or be able to have a business in the state of New York. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, especially with Rick Grenell coming up, and also an update on our 14th Amendment cases, including a brand new one.
That's right. So just to let people know again, this is a separate, these are not the criminal cases that have been filed against President Trump. He's got four of those, two in state court, two in federal court. You know, Jack Smith, you got the special prosecutor there. You've got the DA in Atlanta, the DA in New York. This is the Attorney General of New York bringing a civil suit against President Trump, ultimately seeking a $250 million fine. This was on summary judgment, and this judge decided he didn't like the valuations that President Trump made on Mar-a-Lago. Now, one that was in other properties. Mar-a-Lago came up, and it was kind of insane. The judge said it was literally worth only like $18 million. Now, if you go up and look at Palm Beach property right now, there are lots for sale that are that much money, that are not nearly the size of Mar-a-Lago, that are not... what that could cost. And they're trying to base off what he bought it for 30 years ago. I mean, the money, also the price in South Florida has gone through the roof. Palm Beach has never been cheap, but it's gone probably tripled or quadrupled in what things have cost. I mean, we live in a city where things have doubled in the last 5 years, doubled. Yeah. And South Florida has experienced even more than that. And so
I have a rental property in Orlando, and I could sell that property for over double what I paid in 2019.
Yeah, I have one in South Carolina that has gone up, not double yet, but in 2.5 years, yeah, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If you would like to rent it,
let me just say this. I wouldn't have bought it at what I could sell it for now. Yeah. I wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Same. Absolutely. And you're seeing that in South Florida, but it's just another one of these battles. The problem is when you have a judge doing it, yeah, it's not like you can just ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. For instance, we've now filed in West Virginia. And we will have the chair of the West Virginia Republican Party, who's also an attorney and serving as our local counsel in the matter. She's joining us in the third segment of the broadcast. We filed in Colorado. We filed in Oklahoma. Those are all the attempts to take President Trump off the ballot. Then he's got criminal cases. They want to put him in jail. So they want to take him off the ballot, put him in jail, and now they want to dissolve his companies and take away his business. So you think about what President Trump has had to go through by putting himself out there once as President of the United States and as a second time to say, I'm willing to do this a second time to kind of finish the job. So it's not the normal rough and tumble of politics, which is nasty on its own. This is next level political persecution, using every entity of government, state, local, federal, to really destroy a person, Logan, three-dimensionally. Yeah. Take away your business, go after your kids and their business as well, the family business, take away your right to be on a ballot, and put you behind bars.
Yeah, at some point, you'd think that it would break someone, but you're almost too far in now what would matter if he decided, I'm not going to run for president anymore?
Wouldn't most people, it would break. He's unique that it doesn't.
Thinking about it is pretty difficult to imagine all of these entities, all of these organizations, say, coming after you the way they're doing it.
Most people, this would ruin financially just in defending it. I mean, every time one of these lawsuits is filed to take President Trump off the ballot in a state, he's also got to have a legal team from his campaign go in and file as well. So that could be up to 50 different cases there just to appear on the ballot. Again, folks, put him in jail, take away his business, take away his right to speak, the gag order issue. I mean, it is... three-dimensional. We'll take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. But we are standing up for what is right. So we are filing in the third state, the ACLJ in West Virginia, representing the West Virginia Republican Party to keep Donald Trump on the ballot. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So just to update you as well, the ACLJ's work, go to that 14th Amendment issue, which is unprecedentedly happening across the country, this attempt by, you've got liberal organizations, like in Colorado, in that case, you've got CREW, an organization out of D.C. You got individuals who are running, I think, as write-in candidates for president, who are filing these lawsuits, and you have elites in Washington, D.C., the Republicans, elites in Washington, D.C., trying to take President Trump off the ballot preemptively, so that even if you wrote President Trump in as a write-in, that vote would not be tallied. We told you we would fight back against these efforts to preserve your right to choose who to vote for in these primaries. And this actually involves the primary in these states. We represent in, we've already, as you know, filed in Colorado. You know, we filed in Oklahoma. We represent the state Republican parties there. And we have just filed our motion to intervene in West Virginia, where we represent the state GOP there. That will not be the end of these challenges. In fact, we will be filing an amicus brief, it looks like, in Minnesota on that. That'll be on behalf of the ACLJ. We've looked at other states as well. There is some pushback. For instance, the Michigan Secretary of State pushed back on a letter they got from Free Speech for the People asking them to unilaterally decide as Secretary of State to take Trump off the ballot, that they're not the eligibility police. But you do have to fight these out in court. And I think what you're seeing is this unbelievable, but it is in reality happening, just total legal assault on Donald Trump and his businesses. And Andy Economo, I want to bring in Andy, because Andy, first it's, you know, we want to put him in jail. Then it's, we want to take his name off the ballot. Then it's, while we're bringing a case against him and he's a candidate, we want to gag him so he can't talk about it. And then on top of that, it's, we also want to dissolve his businesses.
It is a complete frontal assault on the person of Donald Trump and his organizations and his family and everything that he's fought all these years to build up on every front. And as you said, take him off the ballot, dissolve his companies, keep him from running for president, keep him off the ballot. In other words, kill him politically, economically, and every other, financially, in every other way possibly can. Eliminate him from the political spectrum. Eliminate him from American society. Just an assault like I have never seen, taking an assault against a person like this. And this case in New York, in which the Attorney General of New York has filed a lawsuit against Trump and a bunch of his organizations. The judge just the other day ruled that the motion that the President Trump had filed for summary judgment to get out of the case, to win the case, was denied. Her motion, the Attorney General's motion, was granted in part. The various Trump entities were held to be dissolved, and they asked for a receiver to be appointed. I've been a receiver in numerous cases in Georgia. That's basically a person who takes over to liquidate companies. They're serious about this. We're going to nominate three people, and the judge is going to pick one to liquidate all these companies and dissolve the and cancel the LLCs. And so this is an assault like the likes of which, Jordan, really, I have never seen against one single person. Somebody must really be scared of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, and Andy, this case out of New York, ultimately this goes to trial, and the addition to this of the dissolution of these LLCs, and of course, got a very complex business setup and structure if you're Donald Trump, with lots of different entities and different companies. But it's also that the Attorney General wants to fine him $250 million. I mean, so that goes on trial starting Monday. I mean, so this is an attempt to, one, again, financially penalize someone extremely, take their business, tell them they can't speak, and try to put them behind bars.
Yeah, and let me mention something that I think is easier. The judge in the case, Judge Engoron, who's a Democrat who runs for office and was opposed in his last election, who granted the Attorney General's partial motion for summary judgment and imposed all these liabilities on his companies and the dissolution, is going to be the same judge trying the case without a jury beginning on Monday. That's not unusual. The judge who grants or denies summary judgment hearing the case. But some of the things that he said with respect to President Trump and his organizations in this litigation question, in my mind, his ability to be an unfair and impartial trier of fact. And I find that very difficult. And I don't know that I wouldn't have filed some kind of motion to recuse him.
Yeah, I mean, this judge, he continues on to hear the next part of this case, which is the $250 million fine. We don't know how this all looks, exactly how these will be dissolved. And of course, these can be appealed. But the assault is unquestionable. How could you, as someone on the left, or even another Republican who wants the job that Donald Trump is seeking, as well as running against him for president, say with a straight face that this is happening outside the fact that he's running for president or these politics? I mean, what's interesting is all these people, Clintons and all these others in New York, even the Howard Stern types, turning on President Trump now, used to go to all these events. They had problem with Donald Trump 8 years ago.
Yeah, 8, 10, 12 years ago, they were all in the same. He would have all his shows. He was doing all these events. Again, he's photographed with everyone and everywhere.
At the weddings and at the
parties. Of course, yeah. I mean, you had Hillary and Clinton at Donald Trump and Melania's wedding. I think that was a pretty known picture. I mean, that before they obviously had a bit of a rift in their relationship. And so many people have called in right now about this topic. Let's go ahead and take one. Hopefully it'll spur you to call in as well. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling on line one in New Hampshire. You're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to tell you folks that I happen to find this presently unconscionable that in this day and age, we have a witch hunt going on against a person who's done nothing but sought to serve and to improve and to continue the American way of life for the people. It is absolutely ridiculous to my mind that we're seeing such a miscarriage of justice by not an equal sword and a blind person, but the rude cutlass of a pirate buccaneer is taking over our legal system. And this is nuts.
And I think, again, we know it is, in a sense, nuts. I mean, to go after every part of an individual because they happen to decide to get into politics. And Logan, it's the reason why most people don't get into politics. They see what's happened to Donald Trump. And they are trying to use him as an example to say, if you're not one of us, and one of us means a D.C. elite, that could be Republican or Democrat, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you're not one of us, don't try and get involved in this line of work.
We'll destroy you. We'll destroy your family. We'll destroy everything that you've dealt with. And I think people are now seeing that. And you're right. You do wonder, why would anyone even want to get into politics at this point? You really have to, only if you are, you either have to have an ego so big that you can handle this, or that you have a real calling to do it. Because other than that, most people would be breaking right now. And I think a lot of people would. A lot of those DC elites would be breaking from this right now. You'd have people stepping down. If you want to be the president, if that's actually something that's on your list of things that you would love to accomplish, obviously you're going to now come at it from a different angle, knowing that this is how it could end for you just a few years later.
Yeah. We can keep going back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Craig in West Virginia on line four. Hey, Craig.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Well, my question is this. I don't disagree that a lot of things that are going on right now from a perception standpoint seem to be political. My question is, in the beginning, when a lot of these lawsuits against Trump started, could there possibly be some validity to them, and all of the political stuff came after that, and so now it's got lost. Some of the validity in the lawsuits, it's lost because of all the political stuff.
But the lawsuits all came after the politics. So I mean, if you thought Donald Trump has been doing business in New York for 40 years, and he's been doing it in a very flashy, open, public way, and he's been a public figure, and no one ever questioned. In fact, he had ice skating rinks in the city property. They took that away, too. By the way, the Trump ice rink. Which we're actually punishing the city.
Yeah, that's very odd.
I mean, so I think in this case, you can absolutely say this is only happening to him because he got involved in politics. And it's because they don't want people who aren't part of their process, who aren't part of the system, part of the swamp, to be in politics. And again, he's a unique example. You say, well, he's a billionaire. He's not like an everyday person. But the truth is, he isn't part of their club. And since he's not part of their club, they don't want him on the ballot. There are plenty of Republicans working on these same issues to keep him off the ballot as there are Democrats and liberal groups. I have to remind you of that, that this is not a really that partisan of a battle. This is about trying to take away Donald Trump and to scare you out of being involved in politics. People, especially the millions of people who voted for the first time or who even got a little more involved in voting, let's say. Maybe they took the next step in political engagement. And they said, no, this guy tried to drain our swamp. We can't let him come back. Let's do everything possible to try and destroy him before he has another chance at taking down the swamp in D.C. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've added a third case, the ACLJ representing the West Virginia GOP in this 14th Amendment challenge. Their chair and our attorney coming up next. Welcome back to Secchio. Folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The ACLJ filing in our third state, this time in West Virginia, the West Virginia GOP. The chairwoman of the West Virginia GOP joining us now, Elgin McArdle, who also is an attorney and is working with us on this case in West Virginia. And Elgin, let me first go to you and say thank you, for fighting back. And we're seeing this happen across the country. Where it's either individuals or organizations or a mixture of those trying to remove Donald Trump from the ballot and in effect telling West Virginians who they can and can't vote for president. And uniquely in West Virginia, in your laws, political parties have a major role to play in the primary process, more so than a Secretary of State.
Absolutely. The state party is involved and intricately involved by statute to be able to choose the candidates who are placed on the ballot. And then ministerially, the Secretary of State then puts them on after the state party has the primary and puts them on the ballot and nominates them. So that it is uniquely different from a lot of different states. So the West Virginia voters and citizens have an absolute right to choose who is going to be on their ballot and who they can choose to be president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique because this involves a former president, someone who's done very well in West Virginia. But in a sense, this is not just about Donald Trump, though it's obviously they're using all these new legal attempts. We've walked through all the different things he's facing, but specifically on this ballot access issue and trying to invalidate him as a candidate really goes to the heart of what you do as chair of the West Virginia GOP, which is try to make sure that whoever qualifies based off your qualifications and the state party's qualifications can be voted for by your party members, that their votes will be counted.
Absolutely. This is far reaching, more than just Donald Trump on the ballot. It is for anybody who wants to be on the ballot. The voters of West Virginia should be able to place who they want to vote for on the ballot. And This election aside, once 2024 comes and goes, this case has long lasting ramifications. And if we don't stand up and fight against it, against our right to have those individuals and candidates placed on the ballot that we want our voters to vote for, then it will be catastrophic for not only West Virginia, but for the United States.
I wanted to ask you too about this situation, because as an attorney as well, I mean, the idea, again, that there are individuals that they want to walk into court. I mean, we've gotten calls about this. And honestly, people have a tough time even believing that this is real. But this is now, it's becoming almost a 50-state effort. I'm not sure. We're looking at, we've got it in Colorado. We have it in Oklahoma. We know in Minnesota. We've seen some states, and there was a dismissal in Florida. But it's an all-out assault. So it's a 50-state strategy in this primary to, again, this idea that even if you wrote President Trump in, I mean, because we had people call about this, say, well, what if I wrote his name in? And literally, if these individuals or organizations get their way, that vote would be cast aside. I mean, that person's vote would not be counted.
Well, of course not. And that's the tragedy of the whole thing. It is a constitutional right to be able, to run as long as you meet the qualifications of the Constitution. And it's also a constitutional right to ballot access and voters access. And by eliminating this possibility, it is an assault. It's not only an assault on Donald Trump, it's an assault on the Republic. It's an assault on the very constitutional principles upon which this country was based. And we absolutely have to stand up and fight. And it's not going to happen in our backyard, that's for sure.
Yeah, and what do you hear from folks that are members of the state party? Again, in a sense, I'm sure this kind of galvanizes people because it's a time when sometimes people start getting divided within state parties because you're choosing different candidates. But this idea that you're going to tell people who they can and can't vote for, I think we can all unite and say whether you're voting for Donald Trump or not. This idea just seems to kind of hit us at its core as wrong.
It is wrong. It's third world country things. It's we're going to dictate what you can and cannot do. And I don't know what Mr. Castro believes from Texas that he has a right to come into West Virginia and dictate what we do and how we do it. It is absolutely an assault on our not only Donald Trump, because they're coming at him every which way but Sunday. Yep. And he will fight back, and we need to fight back. The people from the state of West Virginia are not going to tolerate it. They're not going to put up with it. We did issue the press release that we have intervened, and I don't think that there is anybody who has objected to the intervention.
That's exciting. And we're really excited to work with you, not only as the state party chair, but as an attorney in West Virginia. And I appreciate you coming on, taking the time today to talk through this, but also to join in this fight. Elgin McArdle, again, thank you so much for joining with us. Good to see you through the broadcast. And we will be working together closely on this case to protect the rights of West Virginians. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, folks. And we are. These are organizations, individuals volunteering to chair state parties. In Elgin's case, happens to also be an attorney, so that works out pretty well in this situation. But yeah, you've got people that maybe have never even been to West Virginia, literally trying to tell West Virginians and Republicans how to conduct their primary. They don't obviously know the laws of the state, because in the state of West Virginia, the election code actually says that the state party does the plan for elections, not the Secretary of State.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what the ACLJ is doing right now, we're fighting in all these different states, and we have representation everywhere. So that's also why it's important, obviously, to support the work here, is because we have such a big footprint. We're able to partner with these states. So representing Colorado, Oklahoma, and now West Virginia, and I'm sure there'll be more on the way.
Yeah.
It's really an impressive moment for you to see sort of the full plan the ACLJ can put together when it comes to the work that we do here. It's not about just talking. And I know that a lot of you, yesterday I got to say, congratulations to us, congratulations to you, because we passed that 100,000 signers of the petition. And that's 100,000 people, 100,000 ACLJ supporters that went on board and said, yes, I'm putting my name on this. And now we're going to march to 150,000, because why not? So go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition right now, because we need you. We announced a new lawsuit. We announced a new one with this West Virginia. So we need your support. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition, and obviously you can donate. We must win this fight, though. We've got to win this one, because this is a big one for the future. Not just about, this doesn't have to even do with President Trump. I mean, obviously it does, but it doesn't have to do with that. It means, what does this look like? What does American democracy, the republic, look like in the future?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's not, again, it's like Elgin said, it's this election, they try to make about President Trump almost as a distraction, too.
Because they'll do anything.
He's a boogeyman.
If it has his name on it, they'll do anything, even if it could bite him eventually.
Yep.
Because they don't care, because there's one singular mission right now. But we have to make sure is that not only is that singular mission not done, but also that it doesn't impact what could happen in the next generation, or just our children's lives, or our lives. We got a long way to go, hopefully, here, folks. And hopefully it's not just every president gets impeached, and every president can get thrown off the ballot, and that we're not working in this situation anymore.
Folks, again, we will continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got to continue a lot to talk about on this very topic.
Second
Rick Rennell
hour.
Is joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. Support the work of the ACLJ, the third state we're filing in because of you. We're able to continue as needed to get involved in these cases to make sure you get to vote for who you choose and that your vote will be counted. So continue to support the work of the ACLJ financially at ACLJ.org. We come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll get into more of these issues. Again, this all-out assault on Donald Trump. And don't let it be. For instance, it is not just left. It's not just Democrats. It's those Republican elites, too. Is it tied to Trump derangement syndrome? Sure. Does it have long-term effects post President Trump? Absolutely. Which is why the ACLJ is fighting it out. Donate today at aclj.org. Be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The all-out assault on Donald Trump continues as a New York judge. And just one part of this is getting a lot of pushback, which is this New York judge who has tried to rule to dissolve the Trump Org LLCs. And again, we don't have to get into all these things, but that involves places like Mar-a-Lago. And he said, you know, it's insane to value Mar-a-Lago at more than, like, I think he said $13 million or something like that. Then a real estate agent came forward in Palm Beach, Florida, and said, right now, the price tag on a Mar-a-Lago would be somewhere around $300 million. Now, if you look at what even pieces of property near it are going for that are much smaller. This has no building on it, no water, not beachfront. You know, a couple of acres goes for $25 million right now in Palm Beach. And this judge, again, look, these out of touch, and Andy, they're elected Democrat judges.
Yeah.
Obviously are out of touch with where the economy is too. Maybe they don't have the scope to even understand kind of what these entities do.
Well, I don't think they do. They're sitting up in their little ivory tower in Manhattan, making judgments on what property is worth in Florida and what organizations that have been built up for decades and decades should be dissolved. I mean, here's a partisan judge. He's a judge of the New York Supreme Court, Judge Engoron. He is presiding over the case of Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, versus Donald Trump. The question that was raised the other day that he ruled on, there was a motion for summary judgment, which means I should win as a matter of law. There are no facts in dispute. That's what President Trump said. He denied that. The judge did. He granted partially the Attorney General's motion for summary judgment, held that the various Trump entities should be liquidated, should be dissolved and done away with. And he asked that receivers be recommended to him so that he can get to the process of dealing away with these entities. And he's going to hold a trial. The same judge who ruled and made these really callous statements about President Trump is going to be holding a trial next Monday on the remaining issues in the case, whatever those remaining issues are. I have no idea. He seems to have ruled, you know. So, but he's in line with the New York and Washington elites, Jordan. He's done exactly what they want him to do. This is a concerted attempt to destroy Donald Trump completely because he's not part of the team.
I mean, Eric Trump just tweeted out, you know, it's a tip to destroy my father and kick him out of New York. A judge just ruled that Mar-a-Lago was only worth approximately $18 million. They've had speculators say it could go over $1 billion. I mean, some of this, too, the property values, as we've seen in places like Florida, yeah, in places that are coastal, and in places that are red with these no income tax states, have tripled, quadrupled, doubled just in a couple of years. I mean, he's owned this property for a long time.
Hey, we only have a couple minutes here till we get back. We have Rick Grinnell joining us in the next segment. Can we quickly take Dan in North Carolina? He's got a very quick question. I'd like to get to his question. He's about to hold already for a half an hour. Dan, sure. You're on the air.
Hey, I appreciate it. So my question is, rather than allowing each state to drip, drip, drip this lawsuit, keep them off the ballot, why don't you all hire a proper attorney in each state that knows the rules and file a lawsuit yourself in order to expedite it to the...
We are. That's what we're doing. We're already doing that. Just to make it clear. So we represent the state parties. So the ACLJ is doing that. Now you've got to go through the process. You don't get to just say, I don't want to go through this process. So in some states, you're going to go through the state court system, and then ultimately you'll have a direct right of appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. That may be if a state Supreme Court rules against having President Trump on the ballot, and some might rule to have him on the ballot. It might be the other party that brings him. All we know, this is going to happen quickly. It's automatically fast-tracked because these decisions about voting start in February. I mean, you got caucuses that start in January, primaries that start in February. Of course, Super Tuesday, which is the first week, first Tuesday, I think, in March. I think it's March 6th this year. And again, so you're going to have to, this is going to have to be resolved very quickly. I hope it doesn't take going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. I hope that most of our court system will say this is absurd. But we are directly engaged. I want people to understand that. We are funding, fighting, and actually arguing these cases in court today. We'll be right back on Seculum. To Seculo, a member of our team, Rick Rendell, joining us now. Rick, I want to jump right onto this. So first, they want to put President Trump behind bars, federal charges, state charges. Then inside these cases, they want to take away his right to speak with gag orders while he's running for president so that he can't talk about the charges against him and can't, you know, talk to the American people about why he believes they are wrong and that he will ultimately be successful in those cases. They decided they want to remove it from the ballot proactively before people have a chance to vote just by having secretaries of state on a whim decide they're going to do that. They're filing lawsuits. We're in those cases. We announced our third one. We're representing the West Virginia Republican Party in a lawsuit that's been filed there trying to remove President Trump from the ballot. And now, Rick, we learned yesterday they want to take his businesses. I mean, literally, this is the full-on assault against any kind of individual, but specifically a former president who has decided willing to go and run again for president of the United States, and this is how far they will go to try and stop him. Rick, I mean, I can't think of anything else. Put you behind bars, take away your ability to talk, take away your ability for people to even vote for you, even if they wrote you in as candidate, it wouldn't count, and then take away your business.
Look, we talk about warfare and we talk about lawfare. And when we say lawfare, it is a war using the legal system. The Democrats are doing lawfare right now. And for everyone who thinks that this is not the key fight, they're wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter what Republican is going to be the nominee going forward. They are going to be faced with lawfare. And so I am somebody who believes that when you write a check to the Trump campaign, that you are doing the lawfare strategy, which is exactly what we need to do. We need to beat back DOJ and these judges that have overreached. This is the fight that we need to do. This is a legal fight. Thank God we've got ACLJ and all of these other organizations that are also in this lawfare fight. But I don't think that this is a distraction. I don't think that it is something that we shouldn't spend our money on. This is the message to the people that DOJ and these liberal judges have overreached, and they're creating a system that is un-American. I will say this, Jordan. I know that the Democrats rank and file, people outside of Washington, D.C., are very, very nervous about what the Democratic lawfare strategy is. They realize it is not working. 91 charges against President Trump begins to say the Republican message, which is, wow, is this overboard? Is the DOJ really going after somebody? Now we see New York State again overreaching by trying to take his business licenses away. Politically, this is totally backfiring on the Democrats because they're now proving the point of Republicans that the legal system is out of control in this country. So I think politically it helps, but it certainly is a big pain and not good for the Trump organization in terms of time and headaches and the legal fight that they have to do. It's a distraction for them, but they're ultimately going to win this. There is no question, but we have to do this fight. We have to do this legal fight because it is what the Democrats are trying to do to every one of our candidates.
I've said this to President Trump. This is before the latest move. And I see, you know, most people wouldn't be able to even stay on track message wise, you know, with events, not even run for president of the United States, but even kind of keep your head on your shoulders just facing the federal charges or add the state charges. You add now the fact that you're trying to take down the business. I mean, but he is still willing, you know, this week, I think he's going to be in Michigan today. With the auto workers in Michigan, and he's willing to continue to travel, you know, travel around the country, put his name back on the ballot, full well knowing that, again, Donald Trump's been doing business in New York since as long as I can remember, and he's had no issues. And suddenly, you know, he became the Republican president and kind of again took the system on, not just Democrats, but the system on, And he's willing to do it again. Like you said, it's a headache. But I think that where most people, Rick, are is every time they make this move, it's people's support. It's like a double down in support. You say, you know what? I mean, it's not even sympathy. It's more like, I want to join this battle too, because this just seems un-American.
Well, look, the latest, Jordan, is that now you've got real estate agents across the country and people who do evaluations of properties who are now 100% saying, wow, they are really going after Donald Trump. I'm going to have to join Donald Trump. I mean, I've never seen more real estate agents mock what the New York State did. They're saying that Mar-a-Lago is worth like $18 million.
If it was worth $18 million, you could buy on the market. We should all put together a group really quickly and buy Mar-a-Lago because you can flip it then for another, I don't know, $200 or $300 million. Even if there's a price tag, I mean, some of this, Rick, that's the problem, is that people that know these real estate in anywhere coastal, price tags are kind of irrelevant. It's also the timing and a piece of property in Nashville, Tennessee has doubled in price in 4 and 5 years. And that's not Palm Beach.
The other thing too is that, you know, the internet is not Letitia James's friend, because you immediately can go see this tiny little strip that's right outside Mar-a-Lago. That's like 1/20th of the land, and it's only trees, and it's being sold for $200 million.
Yeah.
You literally can now see examples of real estate that is way smaller, that is 10 times more than what Letitia James is saying. So she's being mocked by everyone who understands real estate, the coast, people who understand Florida. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is a banana republic when you think about what's happening with judges and how they're going after Trump.
I always see it, Rick, too. This attack on the businesses is, you can put Donald Trump, and it's easy to kind of, for people to try and demonize him. I still don't think it's working. I think it's actually doing the opposite effect. But then you got the thousands of people who work for those entities, who now their job is put in jeopardy by their state officials who have decided to make this move. And the thousands of people in New York and these other properties that work for a Trump entity, and that is their livelihood. That's their career, or that is, again, their job.
Well, I think every single real estate owner in New York should be afraid right now, because what Letitia James is saying is, there is politics to be had, and we can evaluate your property any way we want. And it doesn't have to be matching the free market system. It can be whatever I say. And that is scary, because if they want to go after you, if the government wants to go after you, they can get you. We have to stop this. We have to stop this recklessness, because it is true that it's Trump now, but it is the next Republican president and all these Republican senators and anyone who runs for office or gives. I mean, they are going to come after all of us. And so what we have to do is collectively take a stand. We have to say enough is enough. You're not going to take America this way.
Absolutely. Rick, as always, we appreciate you joining us on the broadcast and for all of your insight as well. And Logan, I mean, I go to this. I mean, I think Rick said it. So it's not working. I think that it makes almost Donald Trump look stronger because he's taking on the entire system.
Yeah. I mean, it's
full scope.
Like I said, if you just were just looking at this from an outsider's point of view, and I am, you put yourself in your shoes, this is an extreme chaotic moment, again, in American politics, where you're talking about a state saying, we're going to dissolve your businesses. State saying, you're not going to, multiple states saying, we're not even going to let you on the ballot just over essentially alleged charges. It's not the country that we thought we lived in. And you do feel like we're on the verge tonight of a presidential Republican debate, of which the leading candidate will not be attending, but it's still happening right now. And you know that that group, you know, what's kind of nerve wracking is that that group of people has to at least think right now, you know, eventually one of these things could happen. If there's not the right defense, one of these things could happen and they'll be up to bat. But right now it certainly doesn't look like from where the American people stand. But when you have state governments and you have all these, you know, corporations and organizations really laser focused on not making sure that you, not only can you not run, but we're going to make your life as difficult as possible to make sure that you can't run. it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, no,
and I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the fear monger kind of person. I believe there's always hope. There's hope, and that's why we're the ACLJ. And that's why we're involved in these lawsuits. And it's why we are not just stopping at one or two or three even now with West Virginia on board, because we know if they succeed, this not only doesn't just shred our Constitution, but it interferes in a way that, I mean, will our republic be able to recover? I'm not even sure. But we cannot do this alone. We need your support. You need to go to ACLJ.org. This is not about a singular candidate at this point. This is about what it could mean for the future, for your kids, for the rest of our lives, presidential elections. Yesterday, we surpassed over 100,000 signers to our petition. That's an amazing goal. Now, we go to 150. So tell your friends to go to ACLJ.org, not only support the work financially, but to sign this petition and donate, because we must win these fights for our future. We're going to take all these. We have so many people on hold right now. If you're on hold right now, we're going to take as many of you as possible. Stay on hold. We'll get to you coming up in the next segment. All your questions or comments also on Rumble and YouTube.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We're going to start taking your calls now. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go to him.
All right, let's start with people been on hold for the longest. Let's go to Edith, who's calling in Wisconsin on line one, been on hold for 35 minutes. So I appreciate it. You're on the air.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to comment that for what's going on right now with President Donald Trump and our lawmakers, our Constitution was set up, a government for the people, by the people, and that there are more people following Donald Trump than the media will allow to be known. And it's unfair that, and I'm a member of ACLJ, so I'm following this whole thing. And I do sign petitions for them. But what they're doing now, they're sizing the people that are for Donald Trump. They're magnifying negative stuff so that all we see, all people see, is stuff against him. They don't see some of the posters out there where people are thanking God for him, for what he's done. I am originally from Birmingham, Alabama. And so I was down there during the times of Martin Luther King and all of that. But this hatred, we didn't march with. We did not march with hatred. We marched with peace and for all men. And we're not doing it. The other thing I want to say is, you guys, when you are on the air sometimes, depending on what's going on with Trump, after a while, your sound system is muffled. Out here, we don't get it all. They muffle the sound so that you think we're getting it, but we're not getting it.
Well, we know that online, some places don't like the de-throttle. I will say this. I appreciate your support of the ACLJ. I think when they do try to show Trump supporters, they try to make it kind of like Logan, a stereotype. Is it a cartoon or caricature of what coastal elites think Trump supporters must be like?
Yeah,
so they go to these events and they say, they're all bikers, or they're all... Yeah. And we all know it's
minimum of 50% of your voters. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, right? It's not just the general makeup. Actually, most of those voters are suburban voters who work in, you know, kind of corporate America, and they might not show up at rallies even, but you don't get that many votes by just getting bikers.
Yeah, exactly. Let's continue on and take some calls. I mean, so many of you. James in Texas, maybe it's a different point of view. James, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have 5 quick points that I wanted to bring up on your show.
Right, 5 may be aggressive, but we'll try. We'll see. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick with it.
All right.
But I understand that your show is making Trump out to be the victim. Trump is not the victim in this whole thing. Trump had 4 years where he showed who he was. And not only that, prior to that, in his business dealings, if anyone ever kept up with that. Then there was the Cassie Hutchinson came up, somebody that was close to Trump, that stepped outside of the box and really spoke truth to how this man's character was. The third thing is that he will not allow himself, if he wants to be the president of the United States, to be on the debate stage. That concerns me. If he is not guilty or if he has not done anything wrong, he should be there. It doesn't matter how much he's leading in the poll in the Republican primary. The fourth thing is that the DOJ and the FBI is opening up the transparency of our government that governs us, and a lot of the lawmakers and Republicans that are there now on Capitol Hill, they are afraid that this will set a precedent for now the DOJ and the FBI to now look into their dealings as they sit on their seats.
First of all, you're wrong right there, James, because the Democrats love that he's doing this. I don't see any Democrats going out and say, acting scared that they're going to, the DOJ's coming after them. It's totally partisan. So that doesn't hold water. I also, former staff who write books with nasty comments about you, who took your money until you got fired, are usually not the best sources of truth. I would say whatever business you're in. The staff who were singing your praises publicly until you no longer had a position are usually not the people who are best judge of character. The idea that, again, you don't like their politics of Donald Trump when he was president doesn't mean he did anything criminal, and he's never had any issues criminally with all the business he's done and all the controversy that comes with being Donald Trump his entire career until he was president of the United States, until he decided to get into politics. So I think, again, here, it's the system is saying, you don't have a role here. Now, when it comes to debates, whether he should go into a debate or not, that's just a political decision. Right now, he's ahead so much to the polls, it's stupid. Everybody would be taking just being nasty about you. I think if there was an actual debate if his polls were closer, he'd be there, Logan. And if there was a debate between the next, who the Democrat nominee is, if it's Joe Biden, they'll have to decide if they have debates, but I don't think Joe Biden's going to want to do debates.
No, and at that point, like you said, all you're doing is getting the negative from a debate. You're not getting any positive. Yeah, you don't need it.
12, what is it going to be?
As much as I would love to see it. Like, I would love to see it. It would be a blast. It's just, I get why he decided not to do it. Let's try to get through a couple of these quickly. Mary Ellen, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hi, Jordan and Logan. I just want to ask, because here in Illinois, south of I-80, it's pretty red. And north, I'm where I'm at. And I want to be sure that when I get to the ballot box next March 19th, that I'm going to see President Trump's name there. And I'm wondering, are you all watching? I mean, maybe nobody's going to file a lawsuit here in Illinois. So will you know in advance?
Yeah, we're watching all the states across the country. I mean, ultimately, we do believe this is going to be resolved. If this has to be resolved by court, then it ends up being the U.S. Supreme Court. So all these cases will be kind of coming together. There can be unique parts about each state. Some states, the political parties have more to do with the Secretary of State. Other states, Secretaries of State have already come out and said, I'm not going to, you've written me this notice, I'm not going to take Donald Trump off the ballot. So maybe now they're going to get sued. Your right to vote. And first of all, this is about the primary. So you can live in the bluest of blue states, but your primary vote is still very important in deciding who the Republican or Democrat nominee will be, Logan.
Well, and like as you said, a state like Illinois. I mean, Chicago is what you think of, but we're just a couple hours from Illinois. And I tell you, you go to Metropolis, Illinois, or somewhere like that, Southern Illinois, that is more Southern than it is here. I mean, that is very conservative. That is a 80%, probably 70% voting for the Republican kind of county area. So I get that concern, because you immediately go, Chicago, Illinois. But Illinois, big state. A lot of big states with a lot of diverse populations.
The first state we're filing was Colorado. Minnesota's likely coming next, to West Virginia and Oklahoma. So, I mean, Colorado and Oklahoma and West Virginia, all three very different states politically.
All right. Let's go quickly. Joe, you got just a minute here, if not even. Joe, go ahead. Sorry about the wait.
Thank you for taking my question. Does the U.S. Constitution override individual states' constitutions?
All right, we got it.
Yep. Supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution.
The U.S. Constitution is the law of the land. Where the state constitutions conflict with or are contrary to the U.S. Constitution, the federal constitution governs.
All right, let's quickly go. Walter Washington, you got like 10 seconds. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I'm just going to say that I think that these judges, they're the highest, they're supposed to be the epitome of our legal system. These guys have lost their ability for rational thought. Like it says in Proverbs, the wicked falls into a pit, they dug for another. They're just trying to tie President Trump up with all these legal cases, and they know what they're stating is not right.
Well, I think, again, they want to destroy him before he has a chance of being president again. And this idea of, they want you to believe, actually, that he is too distracted to be president. I think that's a narrative they would like you to make, is that how could he be president facing all this when some of these things won't be resolved? And you can take it from me, I don't think that will be the issue with President Trump. But they don't want it to just be a straight-up political battle. They don't trust that system.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to appreciate everybody who signed that petition already. Over 100,000 of you, 105,000 plus. And we are headed towards a goal now of 150,000. So you need to do that. Go to ACLJ.org. We must win this, and we can't do it without you signing the petition, getting involved, and obviously your financial support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Be back tomorrow, taking more of your calls, more of your comments, and discussing more of what's happening. Tonight's debate. See what happens.